Okay, good morning, everyone. As you can tell, this is going to be a tag team. We're just going to share a little bit about the goodness of God in our life. We've only got a short space of time, so I'm going to try to do our best, and I'm probably going to race through it a little bit to fit it all in. I just want to start off with a few words of encouragement for you, unrelated to our testimony. 3 weeks, I'm just sharing something that sort of blew my mind, but was an encouragement to me and maybe an encouragement to you. 3 weeks ago, I was in Indonesia, in Jakarta, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Drove down the main street there, and there were hundreds of angels down the main street, dotted on either side. And I'm talking about large figurines of angels. Next minute, I come across a full manger scene, and I'm talking about supersized, with Joseph, Mary, the baby Jesus. And down the road a little bit further, there was another big scene. Oh, sorry. It's good to have a wife, isn't it? Another huge scene of the wise men with the camels and everything like that. And I thought, am I in the right country? Did I land in the right country? Because Indonesia is 88% Muslim. And to have that scene there when I have trouble seeing it here in Australia, I thought, I've got to be in the wrong country. The encouragement that I got was God is at work and he's moving where you might think he's not able to move. And we came across a guy that's runs a Christian school of 11,000 children over the Christian school movement. That's just one of them. So God, be encouraged. God is at work and he will keep doing it and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to get excited a little bit, okay? And another quick one before we start. This is okay. We were praying for... This is an encouragement for those people that have relatives or friends that are yet to be Christians. Keep praying for them. We've been praying for my father for I don't know how long. He's 96 and three quarters, hoping he's going to make it to 97. In March. I'm going up there for his birthday anyway, so I hope he does. But he's experiencing ill health. But we've been praying for him. About what, a month ago? We were praying for him that God would reveal himself to my father. You know, it's never too late to receive the salvation that Jesus brings. And so we prayed. And we went away for a week, or 2 weeks actually, and then we came back, and Dad says, come here, I want to talk to you. He said, I've had a vision. God gave me a vision. And he was transported from one room to another room, and he saw white. He saw I think it was the figure of Jesus. I had trouble explaining it, but it was white. And I think it was the figure of Jesus and angels descending up into heaven. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. What grace is there in Jesus that he would do that, you know, to my dad? Trying not to get emotional, but when you're talking about the grace of God, it can get emotional, hey? Yeah, okay. I think I'll be right now. It's your turn.
Okay. He's coming back. I like things in order. Perhaps it's my German heritage exerting itself. And I like to track things chronologically. It's good to have a husband, isn't it? Before either of us was born, God had a lot of preparation put in place. And after that, he put each of us in a family of his choosing. Ed is the only son, and the oldest of four children to immigrant, working class parents who are both still alive. I am the middle child of God-fearing Roman Catholic farmers. My parents have died, but I'm very happy with God's choice of siblings for me. Ed's parents sent him to Sunday school where the teacher had a very positive effect on his life. He had one teacher all through his Sunday school, the same teacher. And look at the result. My sister, who gave me my first Bible, invited me to a Nicky Cruz crusade where I went forward. I had no discipleship follow-up from there, so there was a few pretty rocky roads for a bit. I made some unwise decisions, but God protected me from following through too far on any of them, and he brought me into a solid church family. It was there that I eventually met Ed, as God had arranged our marriage. We've been married for some years now, and Ed says he's enjoyed most of them. Soon after our wedding, we moved to the Shire. Surely that's a God thing, right? If you've got to live in Sydney, isn't this the best place? For various reasons, we've attended a number of different churches in the Shire, and we've had a share of ups and downs. But God has remained thoroughly faithful throughout. So just let me read an excerpt from a Channel 9 news report from the 9th of August 2018. Grandmother critical after struck by car at netball court. Her grandmother remains in a critical condition in hospital after an out-of-control car pinned her against a fence at a netball court south of Sydney. The 65-year-old woman and her husband, who is the same age, were struck by the car around 10 a.m. yesterday at the Ballingarra Courts in Miranda, where they had arrived to watch their granddaughter's game. Judy McLaughlin from the Southern Shire Netball Association told Nine News, witnesses screamed before 10 men jumped into action to save the grandfather who was underneath the car. There was just a massive bang and then screams, she said. The 10 blokes lifted the car and pulled the person out that was pinned underneath the vehicle. They were also able to pull the fence away to help her. Where's the other one? Miss McLaughlin also said the netball court fence the woman was pinned against had young players warming up against it just moments earlier. There was a little girl leaning against the fence and she was catapulted off that, she said. There are a lot of traumatised kids and parents over what happened. For people to lift a car and pull someone out from underneath, that's amazing. The grandparents remain at St George's Hospital with the woman in a critical condition. Does anyone remember this incident? Two? Three? Four? Okay. In preparing for this talk, I did some research and I found that lots of newspapers and websites ran the story. But as far as I can tell, not one of them got my age right. Some other details were a bit dodgy too, but one thing the news people can't or won't tell you is how faithful God was through the whole thing and through our recovery. We fully believe Romans 8:28, so we were watching to see how God would bring good out of this event. Today, we expect that God will bring even more good out of it as we share. He doesn't waste any of our pain. Over to you, Ed. I'll be back.
Okay. I've got one of those lapel things at home. Maybe I should bring it, hey? Just a quick thing of the situation, and I don't want to make a labour on what actually happened, but I really want to focus just a few minutes on how God organised various events that helped us through that situation. I think that's the main point. But just to sort of give you a bit of an overall picture, it was at the Ballingarra Netball Courts, and what happened was Kate and I and our son were standing there in the car park, and a lady came out of the car park, was backing a vehicle, and I think she was trying to find the brake but found the accelerator. So she was accelerating 45 degrees across the court and collected Kate and I, but not my son, who was standing right beside us. And so at the corner of my eye, I could see this about to happen. And I was, and it's, you know how you have that split second thing that can go through your mind? And this is what went through my mind in that split second. I can't get out of the road and it's going to hurt. And I was right on both occasions. I went flying over a couple of cars and landed on, you know, that concrete strip that stops the cars from going any further. Well, I landed on that, and that didn't do me too much good for my ribs and my lungs. So I was sort of out for, I wasn't unconscious, but I was out on the bitumen there, lying there. And everything in the netball court stopped. There were 23 netball courts. We figured there was about 1,000 people. The whole thing just came to a halt. And a lady came over to hold my head. And she looked across and saw a person underneath the car, and that was Kate. So she called out, and about 10 guys came and lifted the car off her. And they were off-duty AMBOs and police and you know, fathers that were there at the courts. And then the trauma doctor came with a helicopter, and then the news reporters came with their helicopter, and you know, then it sort of became, we became celebrities that day. it was on the news channels. It went around Australia. People were praying. That was a miracle. We don't know, understand why so many people start to pray. Wherever we turned, we heard of people praying across Australia, overseas. And it was just amazing what God did at that point. Well, that's part of my next section, so I'm already there. Anyway, the ambulances finally arrived. They took us to hospital. And I ended up in high dependency for a week. Kate ended up in intensive care for a week. And she had the medical report. There were 17 pages of defects, and some of those were physical injuries. Thank you. That was meant to be funny. I've even got it here as ha-ha, okay? Good. I'm glad you guys are sharp. You picked up on that. As you can appreciate, some dad jokes, it just oozes out sometimes, you know? And Kate had two physios working on her again. And the reason why I'm telling you this story, because Kate didn't know what hit her. She had her back to the vehicle. So the next thing she realised was she was waking up in hospital because she was out, you know, under the car. So, the serious part of the injury was her right hand. I shouldn't go into too many gory details, but it was almost severed. And so if it wasn't for the fact that there were off-duty guys there and the trauma doctor coming, that she probably would have lost a hand. So she had two physios working on it, one to get her back walking, because there were various things. I wasn't joking about the 17 pages, but there were a lot of body things broken and lacerated that Kate had to recover and learn how to walk again. So there's one physio taught her how to walk. And then for those piano people, you know, she had physio on her hand so she could get that little finger on that last key, you know, like I'm not a muso, but apparently you need to have that spread, right? So anyway, she's got that spread now, so that's good. Praise God for that. Okay. Now, the situation as God prepared it. Are you going to be saying something else after this? Oh, okay, I've got to be quick. Okay, the scene is this, right? We're sort of almost incapacitated. We can't walk, or if we could, it was just a little hobble with some kind of an aid. So a little bit before that, someone asked us to revamp their large single garage, and they were going to use it for some ministry purpose. And so we said, right, we'll rent our house and we will revamp the garage, put an ensuite in and everything like that, as long as they didn't want to pay for it. So I said, well, as long as we can live in it for a while. And so that was the case. We ended up doing that, ended up staying there for 4 years. I don't know how we managed that. But anyway, we built the thing, put an ensuite in. Little did we realise that we're the ones that were really going to need it, because two steps were in the bathroom, two steps were in the kitchen, and the laundry was part of the kitchen. So that was a real blessing and a real help, and I could see how God was setting the scene for us. If we were in a bigger house, we would have had real trouble trying to get to do the things we needed to do. And I've already mentioned one before. The scene happened when there was a lot of off-duty ambos and paramedics. And if it wasn't for that, if it was in a different situation, I think Kate would have bled out and died, because it was, she wouldn't have got that attention that she needed right at that particular time. The nurse that held my head when I was lying down on the bitumen ended up being a member of Caring Bar Baptist Church that my son goes to. And so I thought, oh, this is good. God's providing a Christian lady to hold me up here. The pastor at that time wasn't Brooke. It was another pastor at that time, lives on the other side of the Warrannoora Bridge, but happened to be in the area at the time. And so he was able to come quickly and go with me in the ambulance to the hospital. His wife also worked in that hospital, so she's able to have some pastoral care for Kate and myself, which we were very grateful for. And of course, the church did the usual thing with helping us with food parcels and everything, which we were very grateful for. We found out who the lady was, and would you believe it, she was a Christian. Christians running over other Christians. I'm not quite sure how that fits within the economy of God. But anyway, it just so happens, and she goes to Salvation Army in Menai, but it just so happens that we knew a bunch of salvos, so I'm very wary about coming here. So we knew a bunch of salvos from the coffee shop that we were ministering in, and so we got a message to her to say, hey, don't take this load off you. You know, we're good. God is with us. We figured she might be feeling a little guilty about running us over. And we said, just relax. And, you know, all is good. We belong to God. You belong to God. God's got the whole thing in his hand. We believe that. And the verse that comes to me often now is in Hebrews 13, verse 5. God says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's right. And I don't know, for those people that have had trauma in their life, and I'm sure there's many, a few here maybe, hope not too many, there is a point where I experienced, and I think Kate did too, at that, where I sensed the presence and peace of God while I was in agony, was right there on the bitumen. I had a sense that the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, was with me. And I didn't understand fully, how come you can have that presence with you, have peace, and yet be, you know, finding it hard to breathe. But it was there, and that's my out testimony, is that at no point did we ever ask God, why did you do this, or why did you allow this to happen? Because for us, it was not a question that needed to be asked, because all things work together for good to those that love God and work according to his purpose, and we believe that verse. And so even to this day, I don't need to know. All I know is that God worked it out, that heaps of people were blessed because of it. We were blessed because it brought us closer to him and closer to each other too, which was really good. And I'm going to finish with this, okay? I've got a word too. Brooke, you brought a word this morning. Mine is Nemo. Kate and I found Nemo this week. So if you're still looking for him, if you're still looking for him, we have found him, okay? We've found Nemo. And he's scriptural. John 15, verses 4 to 12, talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches. Well, that word abide is Nemo. Yeah, I'm sort of not saying it quite right. It's M-E-N-O, right? That's me. You'll remember it now, won't you? So which means to remain, abide, have union and communion. And it's by God's grace that we're able to remain in the vine. So my encouragement for 2026 is, you're the branch, remain in the vine, okay? Do the Nemo thing, okay? You found Nemo now, okay?
Thank you.
10 minutes is up.
Close.
You got heaps.
As Ed said, I have no recollection of the crash, and that's probably a blessing. I was raised to be independent. I can do it myself. But that day, I was totally dependent on other people. And that was a very important lesson for me. It's not a position I'm ever comfortable with, that I can't help myself, but that day I couldn't. And that's one of the lessons. I can't save myself. I couldn't that day, and I still can't save myself. Another lesson was that my righteousness wasn't up to God's standard. Now, I haven't gone into where that came from, but it was there. I'm actually totally dependent on God for this life and the next. I can't do it myself. Without him, I can do nothing. Does that sound familiar? Thankfully, God is more than able to take care of all I need. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than all I can ask or imagine, and he's willing. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, and this is a bit of history, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This has saved me a lot of energy and angst chasing after things I'd like. For example, when I was single, before I even met Ed, there were no single men in our church. So two of my friends moved churches. I knew God had brought me to that church, and I hadn't heard God tell me to leave. So I stayed there and trusted that he would bring someone along in his good time. Meanwhile, God used that time to work on me because I needed some work done on me. And at just the right time, God brought Ed into my life. So, why are we still here? Why didn't we get killed in that crash? I think it's to remind everybody what Psalm 46:1 says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So let's pray. Father, may this story of your faithfulness encourage and minister to all who hear it today. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.